Joel chapter 3 and from verse 1. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And they have cast lots for my people, and have given a boy for a harlot, and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. Yea, and what have you to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coasts of Palestine? Will you render me a recompense? And if you recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? Because you have taken my silver and my gold, and have carried into your temples my goodly pleasant things, the children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have you sold unto the Grecians, that you might remove them far from their border. Behold, I will raise them out of the place whither you have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head. And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the Sabaeans, to a people far off, for the Lord has spoken it. May the Lord bless that reading of his word, and there's more to read if we get that far, in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless your word to us, we pray, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And this is, and finally, Joel has covered a whole span of history from his time,
yes,
to the times of the New Testament, of the coming of the Holy Spirit, and now to the end, to the Day of Judgment.
Yes.
So this is, and finally, when God's people, Israel, shall know the presence and blessing of God in Jerusalem, in Israel, the Lord's going to reign for 1,000 years.
Yes.
And it will be centred upon Jerusalem. Before that time, the judgment of the nations has to take place. In Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there shall be deliverance. This is right at the end of chapter 2, verse 32, where it says, in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call.
Yes.
And Judah and Jerusalem's captivity will be ended. And God is going to gather all nations for judgment. He's going to gather them against Jerusalem.
Yes.
They're going to come and attack, but God is in control.
Yes.
And the nations will be judged. He's coming. You see everything shaping up in the world for it.
Yeah.
This is all going to take place after the church has been taken to be with the Lord. Because as we shall see a bit later on, when that final attack takes place and the Lord comes, his saints come with him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
And he's going to bring the nations to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Now Jehoshaphat was the name of one of the kings of Judah. But the valley of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat means literally Jehovah, Yahweh, the Lord, judges. Shaphat is a verb in Hebrew meaning to judge.
Yes.
And he's going to bring to the valley of Jehoshaphat where the Lord will judge. And he says, I will plead. And that word plead is actually the Hebrew word shaphat, the word judge again.
Yes.
It's a pleading, but it's a judgment. I will plead, I will judge, I will be executing judgment for my heritage,
yes,
Israel. And I will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage, Israel. My inheritance, Israel. God is owning them again now at this time as his people.
Yes.
They've been set aside for the church age, for the times of the Gentiles. But when the time of the Gentiles comes to an end, then God will start dealing with his people Israel again.
Yes.
And the nations, what have they done to his people Israel, to his heritage Israel? Well, it says here, they've scattered them among the nations. And they've parted my land. They've divided it up.
Yes.
Well, you can see what's happened over the centuries.
Yeah.
That's what's happened. It's only in, well, my lifetime, in 1948, yeah, that Israel became an independent state again, where the people of God have returned to. It's all there, ready to start. But it's been the nations that have divided the country.
Yes.
And even today, they still keep on referring to Jerusalem as being, and that West Bank area as being occupied territory. It's what God gave to Abraham,
yes,
for his descendants.
Amen.
You see, there's going to be a time for the people of Israel and for the people of Judah particularly, of national repentance and turning to God.
Yes.
It's back in chapter 2 of verse 17, where it says, "Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, 'Spare your people, O Lord, and give not your heritage, your inheritance, to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? There's going to be a time of repentance, of turning to God. And the result, in chapter 2 and verse 18, there it is: then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people.
Yes.
He's a God of mercy.
Yes.
There's forgiveness.
Amen.
And God will deal with his people again. You know, we can read the Old Testament prophet Zechariah, and the Lord says through Zechariah, words concerning these times, prophecy concerning these times. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 9: "It shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced." This is Jesus.
Amen.
The Lord. "And they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddo." There's a time of repentance there.
Yes.
And they will see that the one that was crucified,
yes,
2,000 years ago was the Lord from heaven, was their Messiah, the one who died for them.
Yes.
And they will avail themselves of the work that Jesus did on the cross of Calvary,
yes,
2,000 years ago.
Yes.
And that time is yet to come. There will be a turning back to God. Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 1: "In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness."
Thank you, Lord.
That's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Verse 3, here in Joel chapter 3, tells us what the nations have done. "They've cast lots for my people. They've given a boy for a harlot, a girl for wine that they might drink. What have you to do with me, Tyre and Sidon, all the coasts of Palestine? Will you require me a recompense? If you recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? You've taken away my silver, my gold. You've carried into your temples my goodly pleasant things. And the children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have you sold to the Grecians, that you might remove them far from their border." Or you see what the nations have done to,
yes,
God's people, to God's temple,
yes,
to God's land. "You've treated my people as the offscouring of the earth. Therefore, the judgment of the nations will come." In Matthew chapter 15, see, the judgment of the nations is coming because these people that have been scattered throughout the earth through the nations, brought back in recent times to their own land, God is calling them now my people. There it is in verse 3. My people. "This is what you've done with my people. This is what you've done with my gold, my silver, my gold, my goodly pleasant,
yes,
things." They're the things of God, they're the things of the Lord,
yes,
that the nations have dealt badly with and,
yes,
robbed and taken from God and from God's people. In Matthew 25, 41, 46. It's coming a time of judgment, you see, for the nations of the world. And in Matthew chapter 25, we can read about, and surrounding these times, we can read about the judgment of the nations. People do get mixed up with this scripture and apply it wrongly. The Matthew chapter 25, verses 41 to 46. This is when the nations are gathered before the Lord. "Then shall the Lord say to them on his left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in, naked, and you clothed me not, sick, and in prison, and you visited me not.' Then shall they also answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungered, athirst, stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto you?' Then shall he answer them, saying, 'Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me.'"
Yes.
Who are these? Who are these? Let's go back to verse 40, when the Lord is talking to those that have. In verse 40 it says, "The king shall answer and say to them, 'Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren,'"
yes,
"'you have done it unto me.'" This is the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
He's talking about the people of Israel.
Of course
he is. He's talking about how they've been treated,
yes,
during that tribulation time,
yes,
particularly. And people, Christians today, churches today, take this scripture and they make it a basis for salvation.
No.
You've not helped people. You've not helped people. You've got to help people, otherwise you won't be saved. It's rubbish.
No.
The Bible in the New Testament teaches quite clearly, we're saved by grace through faith.
Yes.
And when we're saved by grace through faith, we are born again of His Spirit, we become new creatures, and how we act is as the Lord wants us to act. We're filled with His works, which He does in us or through us.
Amen.
It's His work.
Thank you, Lord.
Because we're saved, because we're born again in the Spirit, because we're made to be like Him, they are the things which we will do.
Good tree will bear good fruit.
It's what we will do.
Amen.
It's our nature.
Mm-hmm.
It's our new nature. We don't have to do it to earn salvation. This is the judgment of the nations here.
Yes.
It's at the end of the tribulation. You can't get a doctrine out of this about you've got to be good to people and kind to people if you want to be saved. If you're saved, you will be good to people and kind to people. It works the other way for those that are Christians. Oh, but church after church after church makes this. You've got to do good works. You've got to do good works so you'll never get to heaven. We can't do good works. But we repent and we're born again of the Spirit. And God enables us to do what we couldn't do before.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. This is the judgment of the nations. This is how you treated my people, Israel. My brethren. In verses 7 and 8. Here. There's a reversal of fortune, you see. God's people are restored. And the enemies get a taste of their own medicine. How they've treated God's people is how they now are going to be treated themselves. In Isaiah 41 verse 10. This is God speaking to His people. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, yea, I will help you, yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against you shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they shall that strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and shall not find them, even them that contend with you. They that war against you shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Fear not, you worm Jacob, and you men of Israel, I will help you, says the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. God is here speaking. I know we can get precious truth out of this and apply them to ourselves as we understand the scriptures as believers, as Christians. But these particular verses are aimed at God's people, Israel. And the Lord says to His people, and He will say to His people again, fear not, for I am with you. And so in verse 9, we come to this section which brings us to the valley of decision. It's the Lord speaking to His people. He's telling them to proclaim to the Gentiles, to the nations of the world. Proclaim this among the Gentiles. Prepare war, wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves. Come, all you heathen, the Gentiles again. And gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause your mighty ones to come down, O Lord. This is what the Lord has told His people. Verse 9 to the beginning of verse 11. Proclaim this among the Gentiles. Get them to come to draw near in battle. Israel, to proclaim the call to the Gentile nations. Where are they going to come to? They're going to come to the valley of Jehoshaphat.
Yes.
Where the Lord's judgment is going to take place. And here the nations will be judged. And the Lord is the prime mover in this. He is the one that is moving in this. And He's calling His people now, from verse 9 and 10, at the beginning of verse 11, He's calling His people to action, to call the Gentiles, to draw them in, to prepare for the battle. And it's almost as if they're mocking. They're saying to the Gentiles, go on, get your pruning hooks and your spears and beat them into. Get your pruning hooks and your plowshares. Beat those plowshares into swords. Beat those pruning hooks into spears. Come on, let's do a battle. Let the weak say, I am strong. That's in a chorus, that is, isn't it? It's not for believers. It's God's people challenging the nations of the world. You that are weak, say I'm strong. It's a nice thought that believers can say, we are weak, but we can be strong in the Lord. But here it's the people of Israel challenging in an insulting way.
A brazen way.
Yeah, in a brazen way, in an insulting way. I'm trying to look for the right word there. The nation of the world, come on you weakos. You're supposed to be strong, say you're strong. And assemble yourselves and come together. It's gathering of the Gentiles together. And that word for Gentiles, you see, it's the word goyim. And goyim also is a word that's used to apply to a flight of locusts. And isn't that what Joel has been talking about? The locusts have destroyed. The palmer worm, the canker worm, and so on, the caterpillar. But it's the locusts. And this word goyim, the Gentiles, it also means a flight of locusts. You see, the Gentiles have been a plague to the people of Israel for the last 2,000 years or more. But you see what God is doing here? He's reversing the situation. And in Isaiah chapter 2, instead of the nations being the aggressors, God's people are taking action now. Just a verse from Isaiah chapter 2, Isaiah 2 and verses 2 and 4. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. And many people shall go and say, come, let's go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. When God's work has been done, they'll go back to their farming. They'll go back to peaceful ways. God's going to reverse the things so that his people that have been oppressed will be the victors, and the nations that have oppressed them will be the ones that will be punished. Come, all you Gentiles, I'm going to deal with you. And it's as if that plague of locusts that the Lord refers to in the beginning, in Joel chapter 1, is more than just a farming thing. It's how the nation has been attacked by the nations over the years. And become fruitless. God promises in Joel chapter 2 and verse 25, he says, I will restore for you the years that the locust has eaten. All that oppression by the Gentile nations of the world. Gather these people around Jerusalem. Gather them around Jerusalem, or your mighty ones caused to come down. Where are they coming down to? They're coming down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Here's verse 11. Assemble yourselves and come, all you heathen, all you Gentiles, and gather yourselves together round about the nation of Israel. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, the valley of judgment. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen, all the Gentiles round about. Put in the sickle. The harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full and the vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. It's a time of judgment. Mm-hmm. It will be a time of harvest. The harvest is ripe. But you know, in the Bible, there's not only the harvest that we're looking for, the harvest of good things for the Lord, there's also the harvest of judgment. And we read about it in the book of Revelation. There's a harvest of judgment there. But the harvest is ripe. And this harvest refers particularly to the press is full and the vats overflow. It's talking about the grapes are ready to be pressed and the vats of wine are overflowing.
Yeah.
It's judgment. It's judgment. We read about it in Revelation. And it says that judgment has to be there, for their wickedness is great. End of verse 13. For their wickedness is great. It's got to be judged. It's got to be dealt with. Revelation chapter 14, verses 14 to 20. I looked and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. There's the harvest.
Yes.
The harvest of judgment is coming. Another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. Here's the other part of the aspect of the harvest. Another angel came from the altar, which had power over fire, and he cried with a loud voice, cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. The first part of the harvest is what's the Lord's.
Yes.
The second part is the judgment. Yes. The angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it in the great winepress of the wrath of God. That's the press.
Yes.
The great winepress of the wrath of God, and the winepress was trodden down, was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs.
Yes.
Judgment. Judgment coming. Chapter 16 and verse 16 of the book of Revelation. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. This is what we're talking about.
Yes.
This is the last battle.
Yes.
This is the Valley of Jehoshaphat.
Yes.
Where the hill of Megiddo is.
Yes.
And in chapter 19, in verses 11 to 21, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes was a flame of fire. His head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations." There they are, the nations. "He shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture a name, and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." And you can read that through to the end. It's judgment, the judgment of the nations, as the Lord comes to rule upon this earth with his people, with the saints. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. And in verse 12 of chapter 3 here, the Lord then calls. It's the Lord himself, not just his people calling. He's calling himself. "Let the Gentiles be wakened, stirred up, and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about, all the nations round about. Put them in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full, the vats are overflown, for their wickedness is great." Multitudes, multitudes, millions in the valley of decision. This word decision, the valley of decision, is the place of judgment. It's the word decision, but it's decision of the Lord, the judgment of the Lord, that is, in action. A decision is a judgment.
Yeah.
And it's the judgment put into action.
Mm.
And this word decision, in Hebrew, it's charutz. And charutz also means, it's the name of a threshing instrument.
Mm.
It's called a threshing instrument.
Mm.
And the threshing instrument is a picture of judgment.
Mm.
So it's called through the valley of decision. But it's a place of judgment. It's not the Lord's got to decide now. He knows what the end is. It's the judgment that's got to be carried out. Look at Isaiah chapter 41, just to confirm that. Isaiah 41 and verses 15 and 16. "Behold," the Lord says to his people Israel, in verse 14, he says, "Fear not, you worm Jacob and you men of Israel. I'm your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make you a new, sharp, threshing instrument." God is going to make his people a new, sharp, threshing instrument. That's his judgment. What's going to happen? That threshing instrument has teeth. "You shall thresh the mountains and beat them small. You shall make the hills as chaff. You shall fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind will scatter them, and you shall rejoice in the Lord and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel." That's the judgment. Those that come under judgment will be seen no more.
Yes.
That's the decision. That's God's judgment put into effect. It's the threshing of the Gentiles, the nations that have come against God. This is the day of judgment. The judgment of the nations. Verse 15 says that the sun and the moon shall be darkened and the stars withdraw their shining. This is the day of judgment.
Yeah.
In Matthew 24, Jesus speaking, and he says, it's verses 29 to 30, he says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened." So this all comes to pass after the tribulation is finished and completed.
Yes.
And the nations are drawn in to judgment. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall down from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory."
Yes.
Hallelujah. Here it is in Joel. Israel is restored to the land. The Lord is their hope, the hope of the people. The Lord is the strength of his children, the children of Israel. And in verse 16, it says, "The Lord also shall roar out of Zion." That's the Lord coming.
Yes.
Amen.
Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. "And utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall you know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her any more." All glory. Hallelujah. They shall know that Jesus is Lord.
Amen. Amen.
They should know that Jesus is Lord. Jesus spoke about the Son of Man shall come. That's when the Son of Man shall come and dwell in Jerusalem, and they shall know that he is the Lord.
Yes.
The I Am is Jesus. Zechariah 12, verse 10. Levitical readings refer to that verse again. Verse 10, no, we've read from Zechariah 12 before. Zechariah 12, verse 10 says, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one is in bitterness for his firstborn." They shall know it's Jesus,
Amen,
the one who died for them. And verse 18 shows that in that day they will enjoy a paradise-like existence, but it's in Jerusalem. There it is. The mountains shall drop down new wine. The hills shall flow with milk. All the rivers of Jordan, of Judah rather, shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come open forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. A marvellous time. And that fountain of water, water the valley of Shittim, the valley of Acacia, that valley of Shittim was in the Dead Sea area. You read Zechariah 14, 8 and 9, and it talks about the earthquake that will happen when the lowland will be raised, and there will be a levelling off, and the waters will go forth from Jerusalem to the sea, the Mediterranean, and to the Dead Sea. And it will bring life.
Yes, well, there is that.
It will be living water.
Mm-hmm.
And Ezekiel talks about that vision of the temple and the river flowing out.
Yes.
And he goes in, doesn't he, up to the ankles, up to the knees, up to the thighs, and there's water that's to swim in. And it's going down, it's bringing life where there once was death. In that day, that's what will happen. And Egypt and Edom, all the enemy nations, shall be desolate for the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. It's going to be 1,000 years of the reign of Christ, of fruitfulness, as this world has never known before. Everything will blossom all over the world. There'll be no dead places. Even the Dead Sea, you see, will blossom. There'll be life. There'll be prosperity. And the Lord says in verse 21, "For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed." Yes, all those years, the Jewish people have not availed themselves of the cleansing that God has provided. They've got the types. Well, they used to have the types in the sacrifices. They don't have them anymore because they haven't got a temple.
Right.
So they haven't even got the types now. And the Lord says, "That blood which I've not cleansed, I'm going to cleanse it."
Yeah.
How? Through the blood that was shed on Calvary.
Glory.
The blood that was shed by Jesus, their Saviour, their Lord, whom they will see and whom they will acknowledge and whom they will accept, hallelujah, and acknowledge him to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords through the blood of Calvary. There's got to be such a complete cleansing, because the Lord is going to dwell in Zion. He says, I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwells in Zion. If the Lord is dwelling in Zion, there's got to be cleansing. He cannot dwell in the presence of sin and all its consequences.
Right.
And the Lord will dwell amongst his people. And he shall reign and rule the nations with a rod of iron. From Jerusalem he will rule the nations with a rod of iron for 1,000 years. And then there will come that final day of judgment. We've talked about the judgment of the nations tonight.
Yes.
But there's coming a day of judgment when the dead, small and great,
yes,
will stand before God for that final judgment. And when Jesus comes,
Amen,
we shall come with him.
Amen.
We'll have been caught up to be with the Lord. And we'll ever be with the Lord. And we'll come with him. He comes with his saints. That's what we read in the Old Testament.
Yes.
He comes with his saints. That's what it says.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we're the saints. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah.